I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. BYU basketball has been crazy exciting as of late, but BYU football is coming up on Monday. Yeah, the Cougar football team going to be taking the gridiron on Monday as spring football practices get underway, and it's no better time than to roll out the position previews here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to the show if you haven't done so already on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Personally, I like Pocket Cast. That's kind of my podcast app of choice. But you can subscribe, leave a rating and a review. 5 stars would be great. And it helps out the show a ton. And make sure to download the KSL Sports app too. It's new. It's got a refreshed look. It looks really clean, so go check it out so you can get those push notifications for whenever I'm putting out new BYU content. So make sure to do that and follow KSL Sports on all socials and myself, Mitch_Harper on Twitter and MitchHarperKSL on Instagram. So BYU spring football, like I said, starts up on Monday. This position preview episode, we're breaking down the running backs and wide receivers, positions that have a lot of headlines always thrown their way because of the positions that they play. I mean, in this world of football fandom being at a high level, everyone loves the positions that tie into a fantasy football position. So running backs and wide receivers will always have some scrutiny. And BYU is looking to replace some talented players at both positions. Tyson Williams, he's gone at running back, but BYU's kind of experienced life already without him, but still, it's a big loss. Wide receivers, you lose Talon Shumway, you lose Micah Simon, you lose Aleva Hifo. How are these position groups going to look in spring football? That's what we're going to discuss now right here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Let's start things off with the running backs. Running back position here on Cougar Tracks, powered by KSLSports.com. No Devontae Henry Cole in spring football. The University of Utah transfer is still working on finishing his degree up on the hill. So no DHC in spring, and allows guys that are currently in the program to have that first opportunity to say they're the potential starter of the program going forward. But one key note here with the running back room is they don't have a position coach at the moment. You know, so you got guys like Harvey Yunga that could fill in if needed, and he's a top target to be that next running back coach for BYU. Also Jimmy Beal from Montana State's another candidate that we originally reported back when A.J. Stewart took the Arizona job. So that position is still up for grabs. If they don't fill that, look for someone like Harvey Yunga to just step in and fill that role. He's already a graduate assistant to be in there in spring, and also Jeff Grimes to help out with the run game as well. But some of the personnel that will have this opportunity to step up and be the leaders in the running back room. Lopini Katoa ran for 358 yards and four touchdowns a season ago. Lopini's got some nice vision. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, so he's got that position versatility that you really like out of a running back. And all eyes to me will be on Lopini Katoa in spring football. He's in his junior season. He's got to make that big leap forward if he wants to be RB1 for BYU, because the last thing BYU, I think, and this coaching staff want coming out of spring at the end of March and heading into April is that DeVonte Henry Cole just gets handed the job. You want to see these guys that are in the building right now show very well and step up and perform at a high level. And Lopini Katoa is someone that has to make that big step forward, because last year I thought maybe took a little bit of a step back compared to where he was his freshman season in 2018. Lopini's got ability, and he might be best served to just be a receiver out of the backfield for BYU. That might be his best role on this team. But Lopini will be someone to keep an eye on. The guy that I really like at BYU that's already in the building is Sione Finau, but he's still recovering from an ACL injury, so don't expect Sione in practice, in spring practices, and who knows if and when he'll be ready for fall camp practices coming up in August as well. But Sione, to me, out of the guys that are already there on the roster and would have been available in spring ball, Sione Finau to me would have been the top guy that I felt would have emerged as maybe the biggest threat to competing for that number one job next to DeVonte Henry Cole when Henry Cole arrives in the summertime. Another guy to watch for is Tyler Allgeier. 119 rushing yards a season ago, and Allgeier, switch over from linebacker to running back, the position he signed to play out of high school for the Cougars.
Pistol, Allgeier behind Wilson. Hand off Tyler. Tyler's run very well on second level again and keeps grinding. A shoe comes off as he runs down to the 45-yard line of Hawaii. Was it his? I think it was.
It is. His right shoe came off. So as the safeties who dove at his feet about 12 yards past the line of scrimmage, he did kind of that, almost like that Deion Sanders kind of high step where you kick your feet out, and a guy was able to catch his heel, but he was strong enough to get his feet through that and keep his balance for the big game.
Tyler Allgeier and Deion Sanders, baby. Sign him up. RB1. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding. But Allgeier is a nice back, and he's on pace to getting a scholarship potentially if he hasn't already. He's really done a lot of work both on the field and in the classroom at BYU. So Allgeier is on track to getting a scholarship from my understanding, and he's heading into his redshirt sophomore season. Jackson McChesney, redshirt freshman, who already to his name in his redshirt season has one of the best single-game performances in BYU football history, running for 228 yards against UMass a season ago. McChesney ended up with 274 on the season, which was third best among the returning rushers from last year's team. He had two touchdowns as well. So that's kind of your group right there. And then you also have Alec Fitzweibel-Meza, a walk-on from the junior college ranks out of Scottsdale Community College, who's also in the mix. But it's kind of a thin group right now in spring because of Finau being injured with that ACL injury. You bring in Bruce Garrett later in the fall. You bring in DeVonte Henry Cole. Maybe Luve Helu from Tooele. He might actually serve a Latter-day Saint mission. So we'll monitor that situation. But, you know, it looks like a spot right now that Henry Cole just steps in and does what Tyson Williams did and becomes RB1. Unless in spring ball, a guy like Katoa, a guy like Allgeier, a guy like McChesney really steps to the forefront and says, hey, no, DHC, we like you. We're glad you're on board. But hey, this is my job. I'm going to go take it. So, and you want to see that, I think, from these running backs in spring ball over these 15 practices. You want to see someone really step up and make a legitimate case that they could be the starting running back for BYU. It's important because, as we've seen from BYU in previous seasons, the running back room has to go deep. I mean, the last 2 years, BYU has plucked a guy from the linebacker room to play at running back. So you better have the options, you better have the numbers, and guys need to step up and perform well, and spring ball will be that opportunity for these players to do that. Let's get over to the wide receiver room.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Wide receivers here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by kslsports.com. You lose a ton of guys. I mentioned it earlier. Micah Simon, Talon Shumway, Aleva Hifo, they're gone. All graduated. So there's a lot of openings now to replace in that wide receiver room. Who will step to the forefront? I wrote up an article on kslsports.com, 10 questions that need to be answered during spring football, and wide receiver is definitely one of those positions because of all the guys that are lost. Now, keep in mind, to me, I think this receiver room is very intriguing, and they have the potential this fall to maybe exceed what last year's group did. Now, that might be an unpopular take, but I do believe there's the potential there in the room right now to be really good in fall. And then you pair it up with the newcomers that'll be joining in summer and fall. This receiver room could be very good. It's a big question mark right now. But if they continue to develop, and I trust Fessy Satake, wide receiver coach, has done a really nice job at BYU the 2 years he's been on the staff. I think BYU's receivers have gotten progressively better over the last two seasons. So I'm curious to see what year three provides with Fessy Satake as the receiver coach and what he can do with this group that really has no production returning. Gunnar Romney's one of the top guys, and he returns as the leading receiver. Last season, he had 377 yards and two touchdowns, and one of them came against, well, that juggernaut, UMass.
And there's your play action for a touchdown.
Gunnar Romney on the slant. That's the fourth touchdown pass of the half for Zach Wilson.
Inject those flow sports highlights into my veins, baby. Inject those into my veins. But seriously, though, Gunnar Romney is going to be looked upon to be that number one wide receiver. I think the expectation for him is to step up and be that number one wideout. He's already at his junior year, and so far through two seasons, there hasn't been that huge production that maybe was expected from him when he signed with the Cougars out of high school as a four-star recruit down in Chandler, Arizona. Still a ton of ability, though. You talk about the catch radius, the sure-handed receiver, his route running. Gunnar Romney is really good, and I think this spring will be kind of that session of practices that can really change the outlook on him and the narrative around him. He's got to have a big spring and make it clear that he is the number one wide receiver for whoever the quarterback ends up being. Is it his brother Baylor? Is it Zach Wilson? Is it Jaren Hall? You can go listen to the quarterback preview podcast on the feed if you haven't done so already. But Gunner has all the makings to be a number one wideout. He's just got to now show it on the field. Other guys that return. Neil Powell is back from the suspension he had a season ago, and that's important because Neil Powell might be one of the best players on the team offensively on this group, and that was according to Aaron Roderick, passing game coordinator for the Cougars. So keep that in mind. There's a high belief on what Neil Powell can be. He's got great size, too. 6'4", he's a big-bodied receiver, kind of like a Cody Hoffman in that regard. So Pau had 216 receiving yards in 2018 and one touchdown grab. He's a talented player. Good to have him back. You know, is there going to be a little bit of rust for him? We'll see. He did practice a little bit towards the tail end of last season in the fall leading up to the Hawaii Bowl, but now he's going to be a focal point of the offense potentially in 2020. Other wide receivers include that'll be available in spring. Again, not including the newcomers like a Cody Epps, a Terrence Fall, a Chris Jackson, guys that are on the roster in spring. Dax Milne, junior receiver, a reliable guy. I don't know what his ceiling is. I think he kind of is a little bit of he is what he is, and that's fine. Milne's going to be sure-handed, and he's going to catch everything thrown his way, and that's a good thing. And that's all BYU really needs out of Dax Milne. Could he be that Aleva Hifo in this offense? That would be nice, where you can turn to him in the jet sweeps. You can turn to him on a lot of different areas of the offense. Because Aleva Hifo, I mean, how many different scenarios did Jeff Grimes utilize Aleva Hifo over the last 2 years? Can Milne fill that spot
in this offense will be interesting to see. He had 285 receiving yards last season. Other receivers in the group, Austin Wetzel, a walk-on senior, not a bad athlete, decent player. Someone to keep an eye on, Coy Harris, walk-on. He's kind of an unknown guy, but last year, I believe in his true sophomore season a year ago, he suffered an injury in spring ball, but was getting a lot of run. Coy Harris is a pretty good player. Someone to keep an eye on that I think might have some performances out of spring practices that he might be one of the headliners in the media availability that we see in spring ball. But a good athlete, played a little bit of defense as well in his BYU career. Coy Harris might be a name to keep an eye on that could be a sleeper in spring ball. A guy that I'm curious to see do anything right now in the program is Braden Cosper. Bingham High product, was a three-star kid coming out of high school. Injuries have been a real issue for Braden, to where he just hasn't stepped on the field at all through his first 2 years here at BYU. Can Cosper show any sort of signs that he can be a contributor in the program? I think it's got to start to happen now. He's got to show those signs in this spring practice, if he's healthy, to really say, hey, I can be a second or third string receiver and be in the mix, because he hasn't even been on the radar the last two seasons. Keanu Hill, maybe the most intriguing prospect in the room heading into spring ball. Combination of size, combination of athleticism. Keanu Hill has got the great genes, with Roy Williams being his uncle and Lloyd Hill, his dad, a former NFL player and Texas Tech great. So Keanu Hill is going to be someone to keep an eye on. And I know Coach Kalani Sitake loves Keanu Hill and his upside and his potential. So watch for him. I think Hill could be a starter this year, maybe week one starter, maybe. I would still err on the side of caution with that. I still think right now it'd be Pau, Romney, and Milne as the starters against Utah. But Hill is so intriguing. It's kind of to me like Cody Hoffman. Back in 2009 when Cody Hoffman arrived on the scene, he was this big receiver, and people thought, who the heck is that guy? How did that dude only have an offer from Sacramento State? That, to me, is kind of Keanu Hill, where you look at his offer sheet and go, the man had no offers from really anyone. And you look at him, it's like, guy looks like a great receiver. But keep in mind, in high school, he was just in a run-heavy attack at Euless Trinity High School down in Texas. So he never got the ball thrown his way. And it benefits BYU because now they get a talented receiver who they feel can turn into something pretty special at BYU. So Keanu Hill will be someone to definitely keep an eye on. Luke Andrada, what can he do, if anything, in this receiver room? He's a tiny guy. And that was something I said last year, that I know BYU fans were kind of excited about him and what he could do in year one, but you know, just his size and really lightly recruited. He was mainly recruited as a track and field guy, and the track and field coaches at BYU went to, you know, Fessy Satake and Aaron Roderick and said, hey, you might want to look into this guy, because Andrada was a decorated quarterback in high school in the state of Colorado, a state champion, did some great things. My KSL colleague Sam Farnsworth on KSL 5 TV was working in Colorado and watched Andrada and said the kid was spectacular. He's a class act. I mean, nothing but high praise for Andrada, but still, it's a big leap from kind of small-time Colorado high school football to now D1 college football, where you're playing six power fives in a schedule. But Andrada has a ton of speed, and that alone makes him, you know, have a chance to maybe have a role, if any. But last year was nondescript. He was just a scout team guy in the receiver room. Other individuals include Tavita Ika, a walk-on wide receiver who got a lot of run in spring ball last year. He was someone that was targeted quite a bit. Ika out of Provo High School, still part of the program. Watch for him. And then also Talmadge Gunther from Lone Peak High School. And then I also got to get some clarity on Joe Nilsson, a walk-on receiver who had a track and field offer to Washington. He's still believed to be potentially part of the program, but we'll see. With all the numbers and the personnel that are coming and going in the program, it's kind of tough to juggle it all. We'll have to sort out Joe Nilsson's status as well. He was expected to be a PWO before he left for a mission, so we'll see if he's on the roster coming up on Monday. But that's your running back and wide receiver position previews here on Cougar Tracks. What do you think, Cougar fans? How do you feel about these running backs and receivers in 2020. It's kind of a shell of what it's truly going to be in fall, because I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's another grad transfer potentially at wide receiver, just possibly, and running back as well. But I think that spring, the performances in spring could maybe erase any doubt or any interest from the coaching staff to look into the portal to add guys at these particular position groups. So it's a big opportunity for these players that are in the building right now to step up and really make a case that they should be some of the leaders and some of the faces of the offense for BYU football in 2020. But you can tweet at me, at @Mitch_Harper. Get at me and share your thoughts on the running backs and wide receivers and what you expect from this group in 2020. We'll talk to you later here on the Cougar Tracks podcast with more position previews. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episode, and go check out the feed on kslsports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.